Hey, welcome to Off the Cut episode 109 for Tuesday, April 2nd, 2024. As always, we want to continue to remind you that the worst podcast available on Apple and Spotify is in fact the Green Suitors podcast. But Zach, you know where the best place to buy woodworking tools is?
KM Tools, baby. You know why they're the best?
Why is that?
Because it's made by woodworkers for woodworkers.
Yeah.
If it's in their shop.
Yeah. Which is not their tagline, but you know.
It's definitely it's not. Jonathan texts me every day and tells me not to say that, but you know what? I write the script on the podcast, so I get to say what I want.
We're paying the bills here.
Yeah.
Just kidding. But no, and the other good thing about KM Tools is I have a huge selection of awesome tools. It's all either tested by Jonathan using his shop, or it's actually made by him and his team. Like the new, what is it? Is it called the Jig Square? The Crosscut Square?
Yeah, I believe it's called the
Jig Crosscut Square. Square? Jig Square?
Okay. Jig Square?
Yeah. Oh, man. We are
Dude, not I need to get my hands on that. Ultimate I know, Jig I know. Square.
Yeah. Well, we did get our hands on it at WorkbenchCon, but I need to get it in my hands in the shop.
Yeah. That thing is nuts. And it's such a simple idea. How has nobody made this before?
Talking with Jonathan about the ideation for this, where it was like, you know, we were trying to figure out like what to reference. And then it's like, yeah, it's so simple. You just reference the kerf. It's like such a simple idea that, yeah, like how did nobody think of that before? It's crazy.
This is like 6 or 8 months ago. We were on like a Skype call, I was on a Skype call with Jonathan. He was showing me all the different like iterations that he had gone through.
Yeah.
The first one where like he were trying to reference square off the arbor was the most convoluted like bent sheet metal thing in the world.
Yeah.
And he was like, I'm never going to be able to ship this. And it was, it was a nightmare.
It's funny though, like that's kind of where I would think to start with something like that, because you could have a metal plate that you could screw to the arbor and reference off of that. But it's like, well, but then how tight can somebody actually bend a piece of sheet metal? Like, what are the tolerances there? So anyways, people at home, you can go back and listen to our episode with Jonathan Katzmoses about this product and all his other products and get an insight into what goes on in making a product like this.
But the idea with it is, man, he's really getting his money worth on this ad read here.
I know, right?
The idea of it is that when you're making a crosscut sled, you're like, okay, you know, I make my fences, I make my little panel that goes across. You make a little cut, and then you're like, okay, now I have to get that back fence at a perfect 90. It seems easy, but it's not.
It depends how precise you want to get, you know? You want to get good enough for rough construction? Okay, that's easy to do. But do you want to get down to, you know, a millionth of an inch? Well, then you need to get a little bit more technical.
Yeah. But, I want to go back to that. But we'll finish the ad read first. So, the other good thing about KM Tools is a portion of all their sales go directly towards the Katzmoses Woodworkers with Disabilities Funds. It gets the tools and resources into the hands of folks who need it most. And every single month, Jonathan is giving away a $50 KM Tools gift card. All you have to do is sign up on Patreon or patreon.com/offthecutpodcast, and you're automatically entered to win, which I didn't prepare. This was supposed to be the... I can pull it up over chat. I can
take
it.
Okay.
I mean, we got to do the drawing tonight.
Yeah, we got to do the draw. So, yeah, every month, one of our lucky patrons receives a $50 gift card to it. Now, normally, Eric would prepare this ahead of time with an Excel spreadsheet that randomizes the winner. But, you know, sometimes
things
get in the way. I'm doing
it right now as we're talking. So, if it seems like I'm moderately disinterested in the conversation, I am. And two, it's because I'm downloading the Patreon stuff.
We can just talk about your appearance on Green Suitors while you get it set up.
Oh man, I wanted to listen. I put that on my to-do list to listen to that, and I didn't get to it today.
You didn't miss anything.
So Derek, what did I miss, Derek? Fill me in.
There, go ahead.
Oh, personally, I'm only about halfway through it. I didn't have much time
today. Is that
bad,
eh? You have to do it in bits and pieces, right? Like 5 minutes at a time, and then he needs to break.
That's about all you can tolerate, yeah.
How are we doing with that setup there, Eric?
Well, my computer froze for a second, and now I'm trying. Okay, there's a download CSV. Got it. Okay. So what I wanted to ask, Zach, have you ever actually made a crosscut sled before?
No, of course not. Although this is a real woodworker thing. I have a 3D printer that I use for making things.
So tell me why you've never made a crosscut sled. You're like, well, I have a miter saw. What the hell do I need a crosscut sled for?
I mean, yeah, I have a miter gauge that I use a lot of the time on the table saw.
Don't you use the default one, like the stock one that came with your saw stuff?
No, I actually have a decently nice one that I use.
What do you use?
I don't know. It's actually pretty old. It's not one that I bought. It's, you know, the thing about having a shop that I share with my dad a lot of the time, and like I've inherited so many tools from him, right, is that a lot of the tools have just kind of been there my entire life.
So hey dad, I need to make a crosscut. He's like, yeah, use this old, was it like a Craftsman? It was probably made by Craftsman.
Maybe something like that. Honestly, it's probably like a Delta or something, but from the 80s. It's probably older than I am, come to think of it. but it's like a nice, solid, like cast iron piece of equipment. It seems accurate enough. I've also not had a project where I've had to do like repeated crosscuts. Like, I know a lot of people get really fancy with their sleds and they'll have stop blocks on them and they'll have
stupid stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, all sorts of like stupid little gizmos on them. I've never really had a project where I've needed anything like that. So, yeah, I don't know. The miter gauge and the fence on my table saw have always just done the job for me.
Okay. Yeah. Derek, do you have a crosscut sled?
I do not. That's on my woodworker bucket list to make one.
Now,
I just haven't had a need for one.
Okay. Because you got a miter saw, I assume?
I got the miter saw, and then I also have that Craig miter gauge. Mm-hmm. The kind of rather large one. And that gets me by.
Craig miter gauge. Gotta look that up.
I've got one as well. It has very mixed reviews.
It's pretty nice looking. Yeah, I thought it would be like cheap plastic, like so much Craig stuff is.
No, that's Craig. No. None taken. All right.
My only complaint is it sits so far away from the blade. So you got like a good inch between the miter gauge itself and the blade, but you can loosen that and you can slide it, but then that little measuring tape across the top is null. Like, it's no longer any good. My minor complaint.
I can't remember. Storm's coming. That was a big one out there. I can't remember. Did the tape measure on that miter gauge come pre-installed?
It was on mine.
The pictures are anything to go by, it looks like it comes pre-installed. And based on the photos, it looks like it's maybe just like a 16th of an inch out of alignment. You can see like the end of the extruded aluminum, and then there's just like a 16th, and then the tape starts.
Is my voice
but you can
now?
On and off.
Does it sound better now? I think I was on the wrong microphone. Yes. Okay, sorry.
Yes, you were.
Yeah, you were.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's okay.
It's hard to tell. You had
other things to worry about, so I was going to let it go for a little bit.
Yeah. Well, in all of that hubbub, I have our Excel randomizer sheet pulled up. Okay. You guys want to give away $50 of Jonathan Katzmos' money?
Yes, and all since it's April 2nd, 2024... I think you should randomize it 8, 10, 14 times.
Okay.
Add up all the digits.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. You ready for it? 14. Jason W. is a bent level patron, which I believe is a $5 one.
That's good value. Just value right there.
You just paid for your entire year of Patreon. Okay, Jason W. Jason, I will send you a message on Patreon as well as an email connecting you with Jonathan to make sure we that we get that gift card sent to you, Jason W.
Hell yeah, Jason.
Hell yeah. I wish we could do giveaways the entire show. Like, imagine if we had those connections. You're like Oprah.
One day, Eric. One day.
Jason Weber. Jason W. Okay, Jason Weber. Right on, Jason. It's written down. We'll get to you tomorrow, my man. Whew. You know,
it's official.
I bet Oprah gets like a high giving away all that stuff.
Maybe she doesn't. Christmas like an Oprah's. This point, maybe she's just so desensitized to it, and also she's fabulously wealthy. Yeah. But I like to imagine at least the first couple times were a pretty good rush for her.
Oh, man. What do you think's the most exciting to give to people?
Wasn't there an episode where she gave every single person in the audience a car?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's like a famous meme. You get a car. You get a car.
With
arms waving.
Yeah. I think that would be pretty exciting.
Would you rather get $50,000 in cash or a $50,000 car?
Well, come on. Cash, obviously.
Yeah.
But let's make it a little bit more interesting. Would you rather get a $50,000 car or $40,000 in cash?
See, I think it depends on what you're in need of at the time. Let's say you're driving a car that has 700,000 miles on it. It's a 1976 Buick LeSabre.
Ooh.
700,000 miles ain't too bad for a 76.
Yeah.
It was someone's grandmother's car. It went through three generations of grandmothers.
It was probably somebody's great grandmother and then grandmother.
Was it Ronnie's grandma?
Yeah, it could have been Ronnie's great grandmother. But let's say you had that 1976 Buick LeSabre, a 700,000 miles. That's Ronnie's great grandmother's car. Mm-hmm. If somebody was like, "Hey, Zach, I'll give you a 2024 Toyota RAV4 fully souped up, or $35,000. You'd be like, "I'll take that $50,000 Toyota."
Yeah, I think there's definitely a tipping point, right? Especially for me, because I'm such a car guy. There's almost no way that I'm going to get like the exact right perfect car for me. You know, like some people don't care and they're like, "New car, great. Like it's a driving appliance. I'll literally take anything." Yeah. Because I like cars. There's probably only like three cars out there that I would find acceptable in terms of something to actually drive. So I would basically instantly do the math. Like, okay, what's the friction cost on this going to be? If I get that $50,000 car, what could I sell it for?
Yeah.
In order to get the car that I actually want. So it's probably somewhere in like that $35,000 to $40,000 range where you switch over.
Yeah.
I think the follow-up question is, are you including tax, title, and license?
That's what I was thinking too. What are the tax implications of being gifted a car versus the tax implications of being gifted cash?
Yes, yeah. But don't you have to pay income tax on cash winnings and stuff like that? I thought you did.
Over a certain amount.
So.
Over a certain amount, eh? Interesting.
Yeah. Huh.
But it's like $6,000 or something low.
Okay. Oh. So what you're saying is our patrons are not going to have to pay income tax on these KM Tools gift cards, right?
Not unless we get where we want to go.
Hey, that's next year's goal. That's a 2025 goal.
It's not a $50 gift card anymore. It's a $50,000 gift card.
$50,000 gift card. You can buy all of the inventory that Jonathan has.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll call it the left side of the menu winners.
Not the value menu. This is the combo menu 1 through 12 that you're picking out.
Yeah,
I don't know. I think for the giveaway, the value comes at like what you're looking to get out of it. So like with the car thing, if you're like, "I just got a brand new car," you might be like, "Bummer."
Yeah, right? Yeah. Barely move the needle at that point, right? It's especially like scale. Maybe you're like a big car enthusiast and you already have like your expensive dream car. And then you win this Toyota. It's like, I'm not going to drive that thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I actually had a friend who won. What did he win? He won a Pontiac Solstice. Everybody should stop what they're doing right now and look up Solstice. Pontiac Solstice. Oh, it was car. Like a little teeny tiny convertible. And it was really funny because so he won it in a competition. Well, and ugly. The deal was that he would get the car after he completed 2 years of post-secondary education because he won it in high school. So he had to go to university or college for 2 years and then he would get the car. Okay. And by the time he had completed that, Pontiac went out of business. But because Pontiac was like a GM company, they ended up giving him like a GMC like compact SUV, very much in the vein of a Toyota RAV4. So he went from winning this like cool, you know,
sporty
convertible to winning like the most bland, boring compact SUV you can imagine.
Yeah, I mean, this car looks like a flip-flop, but if I was 19 and somebody's like, hey, you want this convertible, you'd be like, oh, are you kidding me?
yeah, exactly.
Of course.
Oh. I think he ended up just taking the cash in the end anyways.
Mm.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Did I ever tell you Miranda won a car?
No.
Yeah. She did like a radio contest.
Oh.
Where they had to kiss a car.
Okay.
And
last person to take their lips off lost?
It was multiple days. I don't remember exactly how long, but it was multiple days. Yeah.
Did they get breaks?
Yeah, I think every couple hours they get like a 5 minute break or something.
Wow. Crazy.
Yeah. But you know what's the wild thing?
What?
It was a used car.
I mean, how used?
It had like 40 or 50,000 miles on it.
That sounds like a radio type of thing to do.
In a small town. It was a PT Cruiser.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Nice. Wood paneling on the side?
No, unfortunately. But it did have a magic 8-ball gear shifter.
Nice. Would it be hygienic to put your lips for multiple days on a used car?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't even ask her if they cleaned it before she started doing it.
Yeah, hopefully.
I can't imagine it'd be any more or less than like a new one.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. You got some like, you know, you take it a long road trip, you got a bunch of bug guts on it.
That's true. But I gotta imagine they cleaned it.
I don't know. She said she got lucky because like a lot of people got like, over the hood. So they were basically bent over at like a 90 degree having to kiff. Because she was on like the side or like high up somewhere. So she just like stood there.
Yeah, even still standing for multiple days. That's
Oh, and here's the kicker. Your body is not allowed to touch it other than your lips.
Oh, wow.
So you can't
people did this for multiple days?
Yeah. She needed a car, man. Her car died as she rolled in.
Wow. So what did she kept it? Or did she sell it?
Kept it for multiple years. She still had it when I first met her.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Interesting.
Was it a tale as old as time. No, it was not a convertible.
Okay.
Like those PT Cruiser convertibles are dope.
I always, you know what I love? When they take a car that should definitely not be a convertible and they make it into a convertible.
like a PT Cruiser.
Like a PT Cruiser, or they made like a Nissan Murano crossover convertible. They also made a Range Rover. It's the little Range Rover.
I can't remember what it's called. Evoque.
Yes. Yeah, they made a convertible Evoque, and I just thought it was the funniest thing.
It is awful.
You never see them around. Every time I see one, I'm always like, I grab Sophie's shoulder. I'm like, look, it's a convertible Murano.
Yeah, well, you know, it is what it is. Mm-hmm. Which, hold on, this is a new, hold on.
I like it a lot.
That's our new transition to a segment that we called a Leave a Review for the Podcast.
Oh.
This one is from Rail Splitter. Mm-hmm. 5 out of 5-star review for our podcast.
Yes.
Sorry, I needed to get this in. And it says, don't be fooled by the title. This is not a podcast about how to prepare choice meats. That's my mistake. Still, it's pretty good. There you go. You heard it here first.
Oh, okay, I thought there was more to it than that.
That's it. I just wanted to get that in because I've had that one on our list short for and a sweet. While.
I noticed there sweet. Was a couple. You should check again. Yeah, there's another one that I think has come up since that one.
All right, I'll add that one in for next time.
Okay, all right. We'll do one an episode.
Yeah. What do you want to talk about tonight? Do we want to talk about what we're up to? A new video? New videos people have put out? Our April Fool's mistake? What do we want to talk about?
Oh, let's talk about the April Fool's mistake. That was start heartbreaking. There. Yeah, that's definitely,
Okay, so I don't know how many people saw it. Because I didn't archive it. I just deleted it on Instagram.
I think it was live for like all of 10 minutes.
Okay,
hold on. About an hour. It went
about an hour? Okay.
Let me see if I can pull it up. It should be under my delete. Oh, okay. I have it.
I'll put it in the Patreon or in the Discord.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah,
do that. Oh, you put it in Discord?
I will.
Okay. So yeah, that way people can watch it. So I'm going to play it for the people at home.
This Festool Domino can be yours. The Green Suitors podcast just put out their 131st episode. And to celebrate, they want to give you a Festool Domino and a full set of Domino tenants. All that you have to do to enter to win all of this is send a direct message to the Green Suitors podcast with the word Domino. And for bonus entries, share this reel to your story, making sure to tag Green Suitors podcast, Bent's Woodworking, Fulton Fine Woodworks, and Sedge Tool. That's it. Good luck.
So, it's a nice, lighthearted, funny prank. It was the same prank that I pulled on Zach like 2 years ago.
Yeah, I actually had stress flashbacks when I first heard it. PTSD.
So it was, you know, it was lighthearted. We're like, nothing. You know, there's no issue about this. But this is a perfect example of, we had actually come up with multiple April Fool's Day pranks, and we thought that this was the most cordial, not potentially like, doesn't look great on us.
Problematic.
Like, right. Yeah, right.
Problematic.
So, so this had gone through the marketing approval of the three of us.
Mm-hmm, the brain trust.
Yeah. We're like, okay, this is good. This is good. So we got it all scheduled out. We're like, this is tasteful. It's funny. Like, people are people are going to know it's a joke. If not, like, it's April Fool's, like, whatever, right? So we put it out. And then, like, 45 minutes later, I get a text message from Jason Bent. He's like, dude, video, hilarious. However, you've got to take that down. And he was like, It puts a very precarious thing on Sedge when he works for Festool, but then is doing content outside of Festool, and he kind of like his likeness gets weird. And I'm like, oh my God, dude, I totally didn't even think about that. I like immediately I texted Derek and Zach, and I was like, guys, if you have it posted, delete it. And I was like, I felt so bad.
Yeah.
That's our bad. That was an oversight. Yeah. We were
right.
Clearly weren't thinking very clearly when we gave it the old thumbs up approval.
Right. So if we do it next time, we'll find something like giving away a lifetime supply of bananas or something like that. It's not connected to Festool.
Yeah, we can still prank them. We just can't involve Festool in any way. So the door's still open. There's still possibilities out there.
So we will post the prank on Discord with everybody. Come on, if you're on Discord, don't post that somewhere else. Just leave it there, because this potentially involves somebody's job, and like, just be cool about it. Watch it, laugh at it, you know, keep it there though. That was perfect. That was example our April Fool's of thing. Sometimes we mess up, we make
and we were April Fools.
We were the idiots there. Or maybe that was their plan all along. That they like, damn it, they got us good.
I was thinking about that. Maybe that was just Jason's way of quickly squashing the prank with a kind of a counter prank almost.
I got Zach's text of, oh, what happened to the video? The video's down. And I thought, oh, that's funny. He's trying to get us with a little quick one. And then Eric responded with, take it down.
Yeah, I got a very panicked text from Jason. He's like, dude, you got to take that down.
I actually thought that maybe Jason had, or one of the green suitors had reported it on Instagram, just as like, you know, like, I don't know, to kind of play along with the joke, or as like a quick way of like jokingly taking it down. So it's like, oh, maybe it got removed by Instagram. And then I was like, oh, maybe Instagram removed it because we said giveaway or something like that. But no.
Oh, yeah.
That was not the case. It's a roller coaster of a Monday morning.
Yeah. But, you know, it is what it is. Do you see any other good April Fool's Day pranks?
Literally none.
No. I made sure to brief Miranda. Good. I was like, hey, remember, today is April Fool's Day.
Mm-hmm. But actually, you want to know a little funny story. So you guys are familiar with the Tim Hortons brand, of course, right?
Yeah.
So my friend has a friend who was in the marketing meeting for them, and they were trying to come up with their concept for what's the Tim Hortons April Fool's Day joke going to be.
Okay.
So my friend was like, look, guys, I have a direct line of communication to this meeting. He's like, pitch me your ideas, and then I will pitch them to the Tim Hortons.
Green Suitors podcast.
So my one friend said what they should do is make a 6-foot donut the way that Subway, remember Subway used to make like a 6-foot sub that you could order? So he was like, he had this like whole pitch about how they could come out with the 6-foot donut. I was like, oh yeah, that's actually a pretty funny idea. What they ended up going with was so horrible.
Oh, tell me.
I'm going to pull it up right now, but I'm pretty sure Tim Hortons April Fool's 2024 is... Oh, damn it, I can't find it. Anyways, okay, so what they ended up doing was doing like a Tim Hortons wedding cake. Saying that they were going to sell wedding cakes at Tim Hortons or something.
See, the one I see for Vancouver says that they're doing a poutine donut covered in gravy.
Oh, interesting. Is that 2024?
Yeah.
Huh.
Huh.
Let's see.
That says Vancouver, British Columbia.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I see that same one, too. Anyways, you know what? When these companies try and do April Fool's Day pranks, it's always so lame. Because, you know, they can't do anything, like, truly edgy.
No. Not in today's market. No.
Yeah.
No, it's
the idea that I pitched was that Tim Hortons should rebrand themselves as Dunkin' Donuts North.
Oh, that sounds too funny. Ooh, hey, I had another thing I wanted to follow up real quick, and before we get to talking about what we've been working on, you know, we were talking about the dentist thing.
Oh yeah.
So one of my patrons, Matt Paulson, sent me a message following up about that. Listen to this. Okay. I just listened to your podcast episode and possibly your only patron who actually is a dentist.
Oh, nice.
So I can confirm only sociopaths stare straight into the dentist's eyes. Your dentist split on open versus closed eyes seems very accurate. If you have any future awkward dental questions, I'd be happy to answer them. So then I was like, all right, Matt. So if you have a patient, how do you prefer them to act?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, hands down, eyes closed. Because there is no chance of accidental eye contact.
Yeah, I guess that's fair. I've had a lot of tooth cleanings and stuff, and I always keep my eyes open. And I don't think I've ever had anything go in my eyes.
Yeah, yeah. But I mean, if it seems the dentist prefer that they're closed, I will oblige to that.
Okay. Right? Yeah, I will keep that in mind. I'll keep that in mind.
So then,
appointment coming up.
So then I was like, well, I've got to know. You know that like when you work a job, right, there are these things that like in the industry, you're like, this is a grievance, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I said, what's the number one complaint you have as a dentist? And he said, this is like, you what?
Bad breath.
That's what I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be people that didn't brush their teeth before they go to the dentist.
Yes.
Okay. My parents like drilled that into me. They're like, you go to the dentist, you bring your toothbrush, and when you get to the office, you brush your teeth in the like the bathroom Ooh. At the dentist. That's what we oh. had to do.
I don't go that far, but I will like, you know, brush my teeth at home, get in the car and go
okay.
to the dentist.
Okay. Okay. So
I figured, you know, somebody's gonna be rooting around in your mouth for an hour. It's common courtesy. Clean that thing out before you get there.
Yeah, yeah. So Derek, what do you think the number one grievance of dentists is? It's not bad breath.
Talking.
Okay. See, that's talking. What I thought was going to be one too. It's ooh, not. Ooh.
Here's okay. one that I always worry about. When the dentist gives you instructions on how to move your head, like, could you just look up a little bit? And invariably, I always mess it up. I always look at like the wrong, they're like, no, like over here, or something like that.
And or you look up too much. It's the same when you're getting your hair cut. Yeah. Like, you know, they're in the bathroom, like, look down. I'm like, what degree yes. angle am I supposed to yes. look down at? Yeah.
How much should I move my head?
Right.
And
what about, is it checking out the hygienist?
Oh.
Oh, that could be one too, but no, it's not.
Yeah.
Good guess. All right. You guys are going to get this. Said the number one grievance among dental personnel is you need to, his words, swallow your own damn spit. Patients will hold a saliva forever waiting for me or the assistant to return to the room just so it can be suctioned out. They act what? Like the second they sit down in the chair, their saliva becomes toxic. If there's anything in your mouth that shouldn't be swallowed, we definitely will take care of it. We're not going to let you swallow something bad.
That's insane. Because I'm always like, you know, you get the saliva builds up in your mouth while you're in there working. I take, yeah. as soon as the dentist like lifts his hand away for a second, I swallow.
Right.
Well, partially because it's comfortable for me.
Right. Right.
just realizing what I said could be taken out of context. It would be pretty funny.
That might have to be the show title. The one where they swallow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was going to say the one where they play Would You Rather.
Well, yeah, that too.
It's not a bad one either, but yeah. So that's your dentist thing. Well, anyway, 36 minutes into this bad boy, what are you working on?
Today I was filming kind of like all of the intro and the, I don't know, maybe like the first 30% of my server project.
Ooh.
Because I've been kind of doing this video out of sequence. I planned it all out. Like I had, like, you know, we've talked about this before. I had an outline. Sure. And then I knew that designing the thing and 3D printing and going through the iterations and trying to get it all perfect, that was going to be the most time consuming part of the build.
Sure.
But it's not really very entertaining to watch. So I said, why don't I basically do this project before I even start recording it, or at least do like the lion's share of it before I even start recording it. Sure. So now that I have the shape that I want and I've got it all printed out, I'm kind of going backwards and almost like faking it. I'm not really faking it, but like I'm, you know, like today I was filming and I was like, okay. And then the next step was like measuring all the computer components to go inside of it.
Right.
And I filmed myself measuring them. I've already measured it all. Like, I already did this right. all ahead of time. But now I'm actually, like, capturing that process so that I can make, you know, so that I can actually have visual references to the things I'm talking about in the video.
You're effectively shooting B-roll, but it's A-roll.
Yeah. You're reenacting it.
Well, it was a mix of like a B-roll crunch. And A-roll. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. It's kind of an interesting way to make a video. I've done it a little bit in the past, but never really this much. I think it was good in the sense that, you know, I've probably shot a third to half of the video today in one sitting. Because I already knew, like, everything that had to happen. I already had a rough idea of what I wanted to say. So I was able to move through it pretty quickly.
Nice. Did you, I gotta know, did you get to the veneering yet?
No, that's going to be tomorrow. And actually, I got a message from Keith Johnson earlier in the week, or maybe it was last week. And he sent me a link to a product that he says he's used for veneering in the past. So it's basically a double-sided tape that's specifically designed for veneering.
Really?
So, yeah, and the nice thing about it is, like, there's going to be no mess. I don't have to worry about, like, getting the alignment perfect because I can just kind of take my time and slowly peel the double-sided tape back as I go.
Is the wood veneer already have the adhesive on it, or is it literally like double-sided tape?
It's literally double-sided tape. There's no veneer, there's no glue or adhesive on the wood veneer itself.
Interesting.
The product is called Speed Tape, and it's like made for laminating countertops and stuff like that. So,
Speed Tape. Aluminum pressure sensitive tape?
No, that's not right. What's it called?
HVAC sealing?
It's by a company called Fast Cap. Put Fast Cap Speed Tape in it.
Okay. Fast Cap.
Peel and stick double sided adhesive tape for edge banding.
Yeah.
Oh.
Interesting.
So I figure if it's good enough for edge banding, why wouldn't it work on a computer case?
That is something. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, please. I'm extremely curious to know how this works.
So hell, I ordered
Keith,
a couple.
If Keith uses it, it's got to be decent. He's the pickiest guy I know.
I ordered a couple rolls of it. So tomorrow I'm going to do the veneering process. And I was actually watching another one of Keith's videos where he does some wood bending to try and get an idea for it. I realized that the piece of veneer I have is like 48 inches by 12 inches. So it's really big. And I was like, how am I going to like heat this thing up and soak it for before I bend it? And I was thinking, I was like, okay, maybe I get a big PVC tube and I like kind of roll it up like a map and put it in there, but that's going to introduce another bend to it. So I think what I'm going to do is just fill up my bathtub with scalding hot water. Yeah. Because I got a big plastic container and I was like, okay, maybe I'll just like get a kettle and boil water and then dump it in the plastic container. But then the container wasn't even big enough for the piece. So I think they're just going to bathtub it.
Dude, just let that it soak in the bathtub. Be hilarious in the video if like you're showing yourself filling up the bathtub and then you just like, you got to get, do you have like swimming goggles or anything? If you could just like jump in there real quick and be like, and then and don't even address the fact that you're in there. Just be like, and then I just had to let the wood soak in the tub for a couple hours. And it's just like a 2 or 3 second clip of you in the bathtub. Couldn't find a vessel that was big enough. So I decided, hey, use the bathtub and just move on. Don't even address it.
Don't even address it. Yeah.
You can add a little lessy to it, like your nightstand. Wait, the stuff you add to your nightstand.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe I'll put on swim shorts and then blur out my entire lower section.
I'll send you my scuba suit. I'll send you all my scuba gear. Just get in there. Like, I'm not a very good swimmer. I wanted to make sure I was fully protected. So the funny. Server project's going well. How are you doing on it? Like, how far are you now?
Well, I've got it all designed. I've got it all built. I've got it all printed. So I had to veneer it. There's a couple woodworking pieces that I have to make for the front of it. I'm going to make like a metal screen that's embedded in some wood that magnetically attaches to the front of the case. So it sounds more involved than it is. It's just going to be basically CNCing out a square of wood, adhering some mesh to the back side of it, and then putting a couple magnets in it.
Sounds neat.
Yeah, it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to that. And then basically build the thing, and then I'll have to get the software set up, which I know the software setup is not going to be nothing. It's going to be a little bit of a thing.
Yeah.
So I'll have
some. It'll take 10 seconds in the video.
Exactly.
That's what we got to remember at home.
That's kind of why I have this method of doing things off camera, and then because realistically, like getting all the software set up is probably going to take me multiple days to do.
Oh yeah.
And it's so much easier to talk about talk authoritatively and concisely if you actually just do the thing ahead of time and then go backwards and film it afterwards. It's like, that way I don't waste any of the audience's time. I can give them all the correct information and they don't have to watch me like putz around like, okay, I guess you don't do that setting. You actually do this setting. It's like, that's just a waste of time for everybody involved. So
yeah, why not? Because you want to just be like, oh, so all you do is you hop on here, you change this setting, you do this, to boop, done.
Exactly. Rather than making it into this big rigmarole of watching me troubleshoot the thing for hours, which I'm sure I'm going to have to do, but that doesn't make for an entertaining video, so why show it?
No. Dude, that
I can say in retrospect, like, oh, this took me a long time to figure out, but, you know, here's the Cole's notes on it, if you will.
Yeah, and people get the idea. They're like, okay, I went through some software setup. I know that it's not click, 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 you're done. Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't care to watch you suffer through it.
Because, like we always say, what are the chances that somebody's actually going to do this at home?
Unbelievably small.
99% of people are just watching because they probably think that, hopefully they'll think that the project is interesting and they kind of want to see it all come together, but they're not necessarily going to follow in my footsteps.
Right. A perfect example is one of these shows, Netflix shows that we watch. The Mindless show was called Blown Away. It's like this like glass blowing glass sculpting like competition show. We love it. I'm never going to blow glass, but I find it very interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm okay with that.
It was funny. There is one thing I do worry about with that is that, like, if you make things look a little too easy on camera, it can give other people a false sense of confidence about, like, how hard something is to do. So I'm trying to be mindful of that. Like, I remember I had this friend, he came up to me once. He was like, dude, I've been watching log cabin building videos on YouTube. He's like, I think I could build a log cabin. After watching some of these videos, I was like, there's no way you could build an effing log cabin. Like, dude, this guy's
one
not
of these
a carpenter
logs wears hundreds of pounds.
Yeah.
If not more.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he knows nothing about foundations. He knows nothing about blah, 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 blah. Like, there's a million things. But it's like, if you make it look snappy and easy in a YouTube video, then people will think that they can do it. So I try to be mindful of that and not make it too easy. True.
Yeah.
Or gloss over too much stuff.
But, yeah. Make it seem challenging, but yet attainable, maybe, is a good balance.
Yes. Break. Yeah. Yeah, I've been trying to, like, I was talking about the 3D modeling, and I was like, and I did this over the 3D modeling and printing various prototypes took me 3 to 4 days. Or I, you know, like, sure. I give a timeline to it in the video so that people know it's not just, like, snap, 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 it's done.
Yeah, and it's not just you press print and, oh my God, magically perfect. Like, no. You have issues that go along with the printing process.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I should actually talk about that a little bit more. I talked about, because I did it in multiple materials, like I did it, the prototypes are all PLA. But, like Derek brought up in our Discord discussion, PLA gets really soft when it gets hot. Mm-hmm. So I actually had to find another type of plastic that was more heat resistant than PLA was. But a lot of the heat-resistant plastics are then much softer and more flexible, which I didn't think would be good for vacuuming. So I had to go through a couple ones, and I eventually found nylon, which worked quite well. But again, it was a bit of a process, and there was a lot of research that went into it.
Here's what you can do for the video. Just if you want to add a little jab to the audience, be like, and the great thing about, you know, I know you didn't use, if you do, next time you use PLA, be like, the great thing about PLA is it's a recycled material. So you don't even have to worry about any of the environmental impact about using it.
Yeah.
That will send people into a frenzy.
Dude, if you could see the recycling bin outside my house, it's just filled with prototypes of this server build. It's like, oh, I'll print one, and I'm like, oh, damn, I need to move that one little thing over a millimeter. Okay, print it again.
Let her go. Oh, yeah. How many kilograms have you gone through? You've probably gone through like 10 kilograms of.
Not quite that much, but I would definitely say in the range of 6 to 7 kilograms.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, yeah. It is what it is.
Do you think theoretically you could send your scraps off, have them melted down and reformed into new filament?
Yes, I've seen some guys who are working on like DIY 3D printed part repurposing machines.
Huh.
Is the issue impurities?
I don't know. That's a good question. I know people are working on it, but I haven't watched, like, actually dug into it.
Okay. Okay.
Because it would be handy. But, I mean, also, like, you think about, there are so many things that would have to go into it. You would have to have, like, perfect uniform density. You would have to then, you know, extrude it out one side, and then you had to wind it onto a spool.
Yeah.
And I feel like for the average home user, like, and to what? To, do you go to all that effort to save $25?
Meh. I think for some people, it's more about the conscientious effort or whatever.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not contributing to the garbage pile.
Problem solving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. True.
I was thinking more like you send it off like on an industrial level to like back to the manufacturer, and then they reclaim it and give you a little discount or something.
Yeah, I wonder. Interesting. But then again, like, you also have to consider, like, is it
worth it?
Think about how much, you know, like, you have the packaging for shipping, you have the gas for shipping, effort that goes into it. It's like, at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know.
It all washes out.
Yeah, well, yeah, it might not be as efficient as you think to recycle. Recycling can often be incredibly inefficient. Sometimes it's better to actually just throw things out.
Well, I mean, the same arguments can be had. I've seen people try to make the same arguments for like a electric car. They're like, oh, actually, you know, making all of those batteries is more detrimental to the environment and stuff like that. It's like, you can't win.
No.
That's, you know, maybe that's a cynical mindset, but depending on who you talk to, everything you do is awful.
Exactly. I think that's kind of, as a content creator, that's a lesson you kind of have to learn, is that no matter what choice you make, there's always going to be somebody out there who has a problem with it. So at the end of the day, just do what works best for you.
I mean, think like the Green Suiters podcast, about 132 episodes out by now. And they just made the choice to put out a shitty podcast available on Apple and Spotify.
And launch a meetup.
Yeah. And launch a meetup.
Which, by the way, I've got to go to that meetup. I got to.
I got to crash it.
I
think we'll go. Yeah.
It's like an hour and 45 minutes away, but yeah.
Well, in the meantime, what are you going to be working on? What have you been working on the past week?
So, happy to tell you that the epoxy is finally cured
on the
pieces of wood that I'm going to do for what I'm going to dub the carved helix table.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, Miranda will be gone all this weekend for her bachelorette party, which means I'm just going to be building and filming all weekend. So, I'm pumped. Cool. To start on that project. I haven't done power carving in forever, and I cannot wait to get back into that.
Is Miranda going to be jealous that you're power carving without her?
Probably. But I have another project ready for her to carve. But now that the weather's warming up, I think that she'll probably come out and help me a little bit with that. Sweet. But
is that the epoxy inlay one that you talked about before?
Yeah, that's going to be the one that I based like two and a half years ago. It was just a huge fail where I carved the whole thing and then like tried to flood coat it with epoxy. Basically, we're going to try that again.
Nice.
Now that I have tons of different ideas of how I can do it, how we can do it better, I think it's actually going to work this time. But I spent this weekend actually, and she helped me out in the shop, and we built those little wine boxes together.
You actually got that done.
Yeah. We had a great time. I taught her how to use the Shaper Origin. We did box joints on it. Dude, those came out flawlessly on the Shaper.
Really? Cool.
Like,
wait, so you carved box joints on the end of it?
Yeah. So if you look up at I think it's called the Shaper Workstation. It's like this clamping thing where you can clamp your boards vertically. So you're basically carving into the end grain and it makes flawless box joints.
Cool.
And she had a blast doing it.
Does it have a function where it does it automatically? Like you input the width of the piece? Okay.
So what you do.
I was going to say, like, if you had to make your own little, like, I actually don't really know how the shaper origin works, but I assume you had to, like, for, if you wanted to do, like, an inlay or something like that, you would have to upload, like, a SVG file or something like that. But it doesn't, you don't need to create, like, individual box joints on an SVG file? Okay, cool.
No. So, yeah, you can absolutely upload an SVG file and, like, carve your logo or something like that. But it also has, like, built-in functions. Like, it has the ability for you to draw circles or squares or, like, make mortise and tenon joints all in it. And one thing that they added a couple years ago was called the box joint program. So you click box joint program, and then it goes, okay, how thick is your material? So if you're using half-inch plywood, it would be half-inch thick. And it says, how wide is your material? So if it was, like, a drawer box, you would say it was, like, 3.5 or 4 inches wide. And then what size is your bit? Mm-hmm. And then it asks, okay, how many total box joints do you want? So you just want, like, basically how many little tabs do you want? And it automatically calculates the size and the spacing and the depth and everything for you, and introduces a glue gap, because you can't have a zero gap. You actually have to have a really, really small gap.
Yeah.
And it just does everything. It's fantastic.
Wow, crazy. I had a question that I wanted to ask. Does it know the difference between, like, a nominal thickness and an actual? Like, if you say half inch ply or half inch material,
you put actual thickness in.
Okay, do you actually have to bust out the
calipers?
Yeah, you could
do calipers, but also with a box joint, you could just say it was half inch, and then the joints would just protrude a little bit, and you just, like, sand them flush.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But yeah, you're supposed to use calipers. They sell their own, like, fancy calipers that are Bluetooth enabled. Yeah. So, like, you would, like, press a button and it would, like, it, like, beams the reading straight to the machine.
Connected caliper. Oh, cool.
Yeah, but it's like $200.
Yeah, 220 Canadian. If that worked with Fusion, I would be all about it.
Dude.
Like,
you should look into it.
Yeah, true. Let's see. Fusion connected
caliper. I didn't even think about that. Because I have a set of calipers I just leave in my desk drawer.
Oh, look, I think somebody, I'll do more research when we're not actually on it, but I think somebody maybe did make something like that. So I met this guy recently, and he was a 3D modeler, and he was telling me about some stuff that he has. He was like, dude, do you have a space mouse for Fusion? And I was like, no, what's a space mouse? And so basically what it is this little ball. It's, you know, you're going to giggle, but it's like a little nipple that you can hold with your hands. And it's like, it's as if you're holding your model in your, yeah, Derek's got it up on screen there. It's as if you're holding your model in your hand. So you can twist it to rotate it. You can push towards you to zoom out on it. You can pull towards you to zoom in. You can do, I think it's 5 axes of, different movements that you can do. And he was like, I got it for Fusion and it's been a complete game changer. He said it's like, it makes moving around inside Fusion so much easier.
Interesting.
Huh. Yeah. I think I might get one.
All right.
Yeah.
I'm just over here using whatever this mouse is, this little Apple glass one thing.
Yeah. The one you can't charge and use at the same time.
Yes. That's the one. But I can charge the keyboard and use it at the same time.
Yes.
Which doesn't make any sense. But yeah.
Have you ever tried to use Fusion on your laptop with the trackpad?
Infuriating.
That's a nightmare.
It's the worst. It's probably worse than video editing, but I also hate video editing with just the trackpad.
Yeah.
I need that precision.
It's terrible, dude. It's absolutely terrible. Ooh, I'm excited. I should be getting back my first set of plans from Brett that I set my plans out to. I told you I was trying to outsource things. I'm going to see how it goes, and I'm excited to get those back, maybe this week, maybe next week.
Very cool.
Dude, I cannot wait.
That'll be exciting. Do you think What's your biggest concern with having somebody else do the plans for you?
Honestly, the paying the money and then having it not sell.
That's okay. Yeah, that's fair. Do you mind discussing dollar figures?
Okay. So he charges a, maybe we'll talk about the exact dollar amount in the after show, but he charges a hourly rate. So like some of the plans that he does, he's like, oh, I can knock those out in, you know, 2 or 3 hours. Some of them he's like, it takes me like 20 hours to do these.
Okay. So depending on the complexity of the project.
Right.
Makes sense.
But to give you a rough idea, it'd be like a couple hundred bucks.
Okay.
It's going to take me 2 or 3 days to do the damn thing. Like, I will give you a few hundred bucks. I mean, I guess I have the luxury to be able to make that business decision that I can trade that, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, like I'm trying to do you have a number in your head? Like, okay, so say a video gets 100,000 views and you have a set of plans for sale on it. Do you have like an approximate number of like how many you can expect to sell?
No, because it varies greatly. Like my, the media console, the like 7-foot-long media console I put out, it's got like 100,000. I think it's about 100,000 or so. I don't think I've sold a single one.
Right. So it kind of, there's an interplay there. Like it also, not only does it have to be a successful video, but it also has to be an enticing project that people are going to want to make at home, right?
Yeah. Like, do you have room for a 7-foot-long media console?
Yeah. No, I don't.
You get what I mean?
Yeah. Yes, I do. 100%.
But the thought process is like, well, I need the plans. Like, I need to know how long is this piece? How long is this? Where does the joinery go? Like, I'm basically just selling to people what I personally use to build it.
For sure. I do the same thing with the, you know, 3D print files. Like, I have to make those anyways. So, you know, to put them up for sale at the end of the video is, like, no real sweat off my back, right? I might as well do it, even if I only sell 10 of them or something like that.
And that's kind of how I'm viewing it. I know it's different with the 3D print files because you took your time to make those files, then you're just making them available. I'm basically thinking of it this way. I designed this project in Fusion. I'm like, okay, boom, I'm going to go. I send it to Brett and I'm like, Brett, make me plans.
Yeah.
Then I'm going to sell those plans, but really I think the way I should think about it is that I'm using him to get me in the shop faster.
Yeah, totally. Well, because I think, I don't know when it was. It was probably about a year ago or something like that. You had a video that was ready to go, but you didn't have the plans done. So you had to finish the plans before you could launch the video.
Yes.
So I can see why making, and especially if you don't love doing that type of work, it can be something that you put off until the end of the project, and you're like, I just want to move on to the next thing. Yeah,
exactly. I truly do enjoy building and designing in Fusion. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, I got this whole project, whatever. I'm like, okay, now let's go build. And I'm like, okay, well, I need to come up with an efficient plywood cut list so I'm not just hacking away at sheets of material. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to do this. Like,
yeah.
That's where it gets annoying, but yeah.
I hear you.
I'm excited.
I mean, yeah, that's kind of the nice thing about, you know, not being, I don't know, being a little bit more successful on YouTube is you have a little bit of money you can deploy to, I don't like, you know, take away the parts of the business that you don't really want to do.
I'm buying back my own time.
Yeah, exactly. Yep. Yeah, that's the perfect way
to do it. At a discount.
Right. Like, just like with my taxes this year, I'm like, oh my God, this is a nightmare. I get a message from my accountant. They're like, you're all good to go. You owe, you know, this much to the federal. You're getting a little bit back from state or, you know, city tax, and then you owe your quarterly taxes. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Done.
Go. Yeah. I check.
Nightmare.
Move on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of sitting in your bathtub and molding your veneer wood. We have a new patron this week, Zach.
Oh, nice.
Summit Kitchen and Bath.
Hell yeah.
See how smooth of a segue that was?
Mm-hmm.
And they paid for the entire year. So they are locked in for a whole year to listening to this nasally drone.
Wow. What is it? Everybody's been paying up. Do you get a discount when you pay up front for the whole year? Yeah, I feel like the last group of people have paid up front.
I think it's like 10%.
Oh, wow. Well, thank you very much. I want to say like a name instead of just Summit Kitchen and Bath. But
Summit Kitchen and Bath for all your kitchen and bath needs whenever you're on.
SKB.
Yeah, SKB. Whenever you're in high elevation.
I wonder where they're based out of. I'm looking.
I don't know. Well, you look Summit it up.
I can't. Oh, wait. Here we go. Summit Kitchen and Bath. Okay, if this is the same one, I just want to give them a shout out.
So Montana. That, you know. Is it Montana?
No, I got Florida.
Are there summits in Florida?
Oakland. No, I don't think so. Florida Spring Flat.
Huh.
Yeah, it's like just a little bit north of Fort Lauderdale in Florida. But I don't know if that's the right Summit Kitchen and Bath. It might be the wrong one.
Well, if it's the wrong one, well, we apologize. If it's the right one, that's some good product placement there. If you're in the Fort Lauderdale area, visit Summit Kitchen and Bath.
Exactly.
But we also want to thank our top-tier patrons, returning top-tier patrons, Joe Welsh at Delaware Valley Workshop, Goblin Spanker, Dan R. Menderes, Corey Duvall, Dadu, and Josh at Sawdust Builds.
Oh, yeah.
Those are just some of the folks that are helping keep this podcast alive, keep the lights on. And if you want to unlock the after show and tons of other perks, including Discord and that $50 KM Tools gift card that we give away every single month, just head over to patreon.com/offthecutpodcast.
That's right.
And we're trying to avoid a ridiculous storm that's apparently coming into Columbus. So we're going to head over to the after show now, and we will see you guys next week.
We're going to hunker down in our storm bunkers and do the after show.
We got some conspiracy stuff to talk about, too. We actually have a bunch of really good questions for the after show. I'm excited.
All right. Let's go. Let's get out of here.
See everybody.
See ya.